She's been saved 4 years. She's been our women's home director for 2 years. She's a home graduate, and she's been married a year and a half. If you could help me welcome up Savannah Jaramillo, she gives the 5 minutes of fire.
Amen, amen. I just want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank Pastor Sunny, Sister Julie, Pastor Danny, and Sister Barbara, and my wonderful husband. I'm going to get into this. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For the sake of time, I'm just going to start reading. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Father, in the name of Jesus, use me as your vessel. I know when your word goes out, it does not go in vain. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace upon my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us have the same courage, commitment, and willingness to renounce worldly pleasures in order to serve God. In this scripture, it's telling us that we must quit serving the civilian affairs. We have to let that civilian affairs go. The old life needs to be passed. God's called us for a great mission. We must serve like those pioneers before us. How are we going to take this ministry of reaching the lost and hurting souls in the third wave if we don't die to our civilian life? If we don't take direction, if we don't walk in obedience comes blessings. This is what I was saved for. This is what we are saved for. Psalms 144:1, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. This scripture tells me God has a mission. The work I am doing is evidence that God sent me and sent us. This is for all of us. I'm going to end with this. We must internalize this vision. If we don't get it in our loins, if we don't get it in our gut and in our spirit and let it be everything that we are, there's going to be many, many men and women that are lost and hurting that don't find a way. We have one mission: to reach those inner cities of the world. And we can be a team, an army together. This isn't one standing alone. This is all of us. Victory Outreach International. We are Victory Outreach. And we can do this together. One mind, one accord. Let us flow in the same vein, taking instruction and obedience from those that go before us. They go before us for a reason. It's not by any coincidence. And I'm just going to pray out. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to give your word. God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, that, Lord, you picked my life up and saved me. And I'm grateful, God, that we're able to help those that are lost and hurting. Continue us on this mission, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let that be our prayer. Teach our hands to battle and our fingers to war. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our second testimony. She's actually a woman who is in our home right now. If you can help me welcome up Sissy. She's going to...
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank God for my salvation, and thank Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara for the privilege to come up here and speak. I was blessed by going to the women's conference, and I was blessed by my father. He actually paid for the whole trip for me to go, and it was such a blessing. And excuse me, a little nervous right now. And my faith was actually challenged while we were over there. I got a call from my niece while we were there, and actually got a call about my niece and saying that she wanted to end her life. And it was kind of hard for me, and that my faith was challenged on that, and my trust in God. But I just remembered, I had to stop and remember who I belong to, and that's the Almighty God. And there was one thing that Sister Jordina said, and we have to serve the devil notice and tell him, devil, what you better watch out, because this girl hits back. And I intend on answering my calling by finishing the home, the 16 months in the home, and going to UTC after, and coming here to Victory Outreach Albuquerque and serving in the ministry. Thank you.
Amen. And this time, I'm going to welcome up our second 5 minutes of fire. She's been saved 14 years. She's been doing ministry 14 years. She's a partial UTC alumni. She's our regional gang girl leader. She's married to our youth leaders. She's married to our youth leader. Amen. And she's been married a year and a half. She has one baby and one on the way. Amen. If you can help me welcome up Leslie.
Amen. I just want to take the time to thank Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, my pastors, for giving me this opportunity, the women's team, the gang girls team, the Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you once again, God, and I thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. I pray that you'd use my life, God. Help me to transmit what you've given me, God, because, Lord, you spoke to me, so now it's my turn to speak to this church, God. I pray for encouragement. I pray for, Father God, a lifting of the spirit, my God, chain that be broken, Father. I just thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read, and I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. And it says, then David said to the Philistine, come to me. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And I'm going to talk about what God spoke to me, and it's reminding me how David battled the giant and how God can do that, how I can defeat the giant through God. And I know, like Sister Michelle said, that I've been here for 14 years, but don't forget that just because I've been here 14 years does not mean that I don't have my own giants. Does not mean that because I'm a leader that God, the enemy doesn't send his giants my way. I want to let you know how David was able to defeat his giant. When he had passion, does not need permission. David was passionate about what was before him. He saw the Philistine army coming against the Israelites. Nobody was doing nothing about it, and he was the only one willing to stand and go to the king and tell him, I'll be the one to go for you. In 1 Samuel 17:31, that's what happened. King Saul called David to him, and he didn't have to ask the king. He didn't have to ask his brothers who were a coward. He didn't have to ask the armies who were a coward. He decided himself that I'm going to go take this giant, and I'm going to handle my business. Second, radical faith. David had radical faith. 1 Samuel chapter 17:37. It says right there that moreover, this is King David telling Saul, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He already knew that God was going to go through him and defeat the giant even before he faced the giant. That is radical faith. Some of you guys have been through some things. That was my drawback. That was what God spoke to me. He told me, Leslie, you defeated your lions. You defeated your bears. Now it's your turn to defeat your giants. I was there for you when you were in the wilderness. Deming was my wilderness. I was there faithfully serving under my father. And God reminded me, because you can do it there, you can do it here. And the third one is radical change needs radical action. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says that David drew near. Now, you could read the chapter later in chapter 17, but everybody was running from Philistine. Everybody was running from the giant, but the only person that was willing to go up and face him was David. Some of you guys needed some radical change, and you took some radical action, right? Like the people in the home. I bet you told your family that you're going into a one-year program, that you can't smoke, that you can't get a job, that you can't date, that you can't bring your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. I'm pretty sure that was radical to them. Some of you guys have that radicalness in you. Some of you girls are running the streets. But God wants that same radicalness that you did back then, here now. Now, I was crazy in the world. I was so crazy. I partied hard. I was loud, really loud, super loud. So God reminded me, just like that how you were, that is how you are now. So I just want to challenge you, Victor H. Albuquerque. Are you able to defeat your giant like David did? He's given you the tools. He's already led the example. Now you just got to defeat the giant here, whatever it may be. It might be depression. It might be anxiety. It might be fear. Maybe it's the drug. Maybe it's lust. Whatever it may be, God has given you the ability to fight that giant. And he's reminding you that you've defeated things before through him. I'm going to go ahead and pray out. Father, I just thank you once again, God. And I pray, Lord, that, Father, my words, my God, are not mine, but they're yours, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, Lord. And I pray, Father, that the same atmosphere just continues on, Lord. I thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Somebody say fire. At this time, we have one last testimony, so I'm going to go ahead and call up Julissa. She's going to testify about what God did in her life at convention.
Amen. First of all, I want to thank God for my salvation, and God provided me with a job, amen, to be able to get there. I had no excuse to get there. But first of all, there was one thing that Sister Vicky had said was, we are women that are trained. And just like Sister Cecilia said that, you know how Sister Gina said that we are women that hit back. So I want to challenge you guys that if you guys are getting hit by the enemy, we are victory already, so we hit back. And one thing that stuck out to me was when Sister Georgina said that when we wake up and we hit, and the minute that our feet hit the floor, the enemy says, oh no, she's awake. And I want to challenge you guys, if you guys are going through it, remember that we are a church, that we are a people, that we hit back. So I want to challenge you guys, rise up. And we have a city to take. There's a city with our name on it. There's people out there that are hurting. And I want to challenge you guys. This is a victory ministry. And I want to challenge you guys to rise up and take your stand, because there's hurting people out there. And that's one thing they spoke about, is of how big our ministry is and how many people that there is that are out there hurting. And I just want to challenge you guys and leave you with that. Amen.
Amen. We could all stand tonight. When we go to convention, it's a time of refreshing. It's a time where God does something in our lives as individuals, as leaders. It's a time of refreshing. And I want to encourage, again, if you didn't make this one, and we know this is not just a one-day thing, right? This is something that God did, and it's going to carry us through, amen? A lot of us went, we went differently as far as where we were at in our lives, and I want to encourage you, men of God, these conventions are no joke. Victory Outreach don't play. Amen. We train. We raise up. God sends out. And like Julissa is saying, we have a big world out there. How many know we still have a region that needs some churches in it? We still have a launching pad here in Albuquerque. God is going to build a base here. Amen. But it's not just going to be with the people we see in the front. Some of you are called. You hear the call. You feel the call. And we want to encourage you tonight. It's not just about going to convention. God just confirms things over there. God begins to put it in your heart. So I want to encourage you. Amen? It's time. It's time for our ministry to just burst at the seams here in Albuquerque. It's time for our ministry to become a launching pad once again. Amen? So with that, I want to invite up our last speaker for tonight. She's no stranger to us. Amen? She's been saved. She's been saved a long time. Amen. God saved her as a gang girl. She's been saved 42 years. She's been in ministry 37 years. She's been married 41 years. Amen. And God has used her to build her family, build this ministry. And I want you to help me welcome up our senior pastor's wife, Sister Barbara.
I feel young at heart, but old in numbers. God is good, right? Let's lift our hands right now. Let's just thank Him for these powerful, powerful testimonies and this powerful word that's come forth so far. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you provide the fire, God. You provide the fire.
You provide the fire.
Come on, worship Him. Get your breakthrough tonight.
Bye.
But maybe it overflow onto every person you bring in our pathway, God. Let us be open. Let us recognize. Let us see with your eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Oh, we serve a mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm super excited. I am so honored to serve alongside these women. Aren't they amazing? Powerful, powerful women of God. And I heard the mission field right now. Did you? There's some missionaries that are going to be birthed out of our church. God, we're going to launch them out. We're going to send them out to the four corners of this world to preach the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. I've entitled this message tonight, Relentless Pursuit of a Life of Obedience. I believe that at this convention, God separated the warriors from the just tag-along people. You know, there's a lot of people that will go to a convention year after year after year after year after year after year, and they'll get all emotional, and they'll come home and be the same. But I really believe that God was singling out the women warriors. He called us women warriors. You heard it. David, one of the ladies preached on David and how David was a mighty man of God and he ran into the battle, not away from the battle. And God really spoke to us in some very, very serious words. And I came home challenged. I came home challenged and I met with the prayer team on Sunday and I said, prayer warriors, we need to pray through some things. God has a big job ahead of us. And the Bible says it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And if we are going to do what God commanded us to do at this convention, we need some prayer. And I gathered the ladies and I gathered them and I gathered the Deborah warriors this week. And that's another group of women that I'm teaching and I'm discipling to really reach the women within this church and train them and develop them. And I believe that we are on the brink of a breakthrough. I said, I believe we're on the brink of a breakthrough. So when we got together today, we interceded over this church. We came against every demonic force, and I'm going to come against them again tonight. And we're going to come against them again tonight. And we felt the power of God in this place. We prayed over the chairs. We prayed over the sound equipment. We prayed over the pulpit. We prayed prayers of repentance on behalf of the church. And we believe that when there is true repentance in any way, shape, or not that things were wrong, but just in case. Everybody say, just in case. And it's all right to say a prayer of repentance. And we say that on behalf of the church. And we felt the power of God, didn't we, ladies?
We felt the presence of God. And we told the enemy today, no more. No more messing with the people of God in Albuquerque, New Mexico. No more. We've had enough. Enough is enough. And we told the devil, you get your hands off the ones that are supposed to be in this church already. Enough is enough. Everybody say, enough is enough. We believe that we're in the time of revival. And revival is a word that wakes you up from something. If you're sleeping, God's going to wake you up. If you're spiritually dead, God's going to wake you up. But as a church, God wants a movement to take place, a movement of revival. This isn't just in our church. He wants it in every church of the world, every Victory Outreach, because there are hurting souls, and we are the tool that God wants to use. Amen? We are the person that's in the quiver of God to be used for him. God is calling us out. He told us, I believe, at this convention that it's time to align yourself. He said, church, if you're out of alignment, I mean, I'm speaking the words he spoke to me. Church, if you're out of alignment, it's time to align yourself. Because I am getting ready to pour an end time anointing upon you. I'm getting ready to pour what it's going to take to be able to do the work that I've called you to. How many of you know that we're living in a time where nobody wants to go to the inner city anymore? People are moving away. They're moving away. But what is Victory Outreach doing? Moving in. We're moving in and we're telling the enemy we're taking God's people back. What you think you own, you don't own. What you think you have, you don't have. We are going to come in and we are going to take back what the enemy has stolen. In Jesus' name. In other words, there was a specific direction given to our ministry. And the Lord said, if you're not in tune with me and with the vision, you're going to miss it all together. You see, Victory Outreach, we have to get our eyes off of civilian affairs. And I'm talking to our church. Amen? And these words aren't going to just stay right here. They're going to go out. And they're going to penetrate the hearts of everybody else that was supposed to be in service tonight. Getting rid of civilian affairs. How do we get involved in civilian affairs? Troubles in our lives, financial problems, things, you know, mama's acting funny, daddy's acting funny, kids are acting funny, everybody's going a little nuts. And we get caught up in that cycle of fighting in the flesh. And the Lord is saying, I've given you spiritual weapons, weapons of war to tear down the enemy. But yet you get so caught up in civilian affairs, you put down your weapons of war and you take up the arm of flesh. And God is saying it's time that we put those weapons in the flesh aside. As the girl said, I believe it was Leslie's sister Georgina said, this girl fights back. Everybody say that. You don't have to say girl if you're a guy. Say, if you're a guy, you say this guy, okay? But everybody together, we're going to say it. And we're going to mean it. Because the devil's been beating you up too long. He's been messing with you too long. And you have to say this. Come on. Girl fights back. Come on, guys. I know y'all know how to punch harder than that. This girl fights back. And that's what she said over and over and over. It got in my spirit. And I said, you know what? I went there pretty defeated. I am not going to lie. I had some things going on after my mother's funeral that the enemy was just trying to turn upside down. And I was pretty weak, kind of went on a stretcher. And I'm telling you, those messages stirred me up. And the Lord reminded me who I am. I am a woman warrior called to do battle against the enemy. And I'm not going to let anything stop me. And I said, I got my fight back. Do you have your fight back? It's easy to lose your fight. It's easy to get caught up in civilian affairs. And you know, in our church and in our city, it's a temptation to fall into the culture of our city. Can I tell you what the culture of our city and state is? You already know, but I'm going to tell you again. The culture of our city and state is poverty. A handout. What's in it for me? Taking and not giving. taking and not giving. Saying it again, taking and not giving. That's poverty mentality. The mentality of the crab. How many of you know what the mentality of the crab is? The crabs will be climbing up the bucket. Another crab will see it's climbing up further and they'll pull them down. People that are getting successful and pulling each other down, that has to end. God is going to elevate some of you. And we have to celebrate that elevation. Everybody say that. Celebrate the elevation. He's going to begin to raise some of you up. I told the ladies, I want you to be better preachers than me. I want you to be better givers than me. I want you to be better disciplers than me. Because I know who I am. And I know who had influence in your life. And I'm not all insecure with that. I want you to fulfill the call. And I heard there's some missionaries going to be called out. And we're going to send you. But that crab mentality has to go. Religion rather than a personal relationship with God. Deception and lies. Prescription medication. Alcoholism. Gambling abuse. These are the things that are taking a hold of our city and our state. Rebellion and witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I don't care how you chop that up. Period. The Bible says that. If you have an ounce of rebellion, then you are allowing the enemy to fill your heart and operate in something that's not of God. Fornication and lust. Oh my gosh, this is such a big one. Because there is a spirit that's been leashed upon our state, our city, and our nation. In all kinds of ways. I won't get too deep into that. And how about the welfare mentality? The victim. Oh, poor me. It's all about me. Help me. What about me? It's kind of like the handout thing that I talked about earlier. But we have to guard our hearts and instead fight against these spirits. Having the full armor of God on. I'm going to read a scripture in Romans chapter 5, 16 through 18 in the Message Bible, so follow with me. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourself to the ways of God, and freedom never quits. All your lives you've spent in sin, and sin has told you what to do. But thank God you started listening to a new master, one whose commands have set you free to live openly in his freedom. See, God is saying, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, I set you free from a lot of that stuff. Don't return to that yoke of bondage. Don't allow the enemy to put that yoke back on you. And too many times we see a revolving door because you go through the home and you think you got it together. And you think you're ready to stand. And the enemy just says, all right, come on. And he starts throwing some things at you and you can't handle it. That's why accountability is important. That's why structure is important. So that we can teach you how to live out of the home. Teach you some things. Or those of you that think you're these spiritual giants, that you're of no earthly good. You got a lot of spirit going on inside of you, but I don't know if it's all God. And so what happens is the enemy starts to make you think that you have arrived and you are above, and pride sets in. And then pride just gets a hold of you and says, you know, the church doesn't pray, and I bet you the pastors don't even pray, and I should be the one up there preaching, and who does she think she is, and I can do it better than that, and judgment and criticism start to creep in. That's not freedom. The freedom that God is talking about is the freedom in Christ. All those bondages are off. They're off, and you're not allowing the spirit of the city to come back into your life. The spirit and the culture of this earth.
We're living in a time where the culture is very evident. It's very evident who's in control. It's me, myself, and I. Not me, but that's what they're saying. Me, myself, and I. That's the culture of this world. Anything that feels good, anything like all of those things that go with the selfish spirit, that's what's happening. And you can't allow that to fall back into your life. You have to fight in the spirit. The fight that we're getting back is in the spirit. We're going to fight for our salvation. We're going to fight for our loved ones. We're going to fight for our city. We're going to fight for our state. We're going to fight for our world, but we're going to use spiritual weapons because they're not carnal and they pull down strongholds. Amen. But it begins with you because he said, cast down imaginations in your own life and everything that exalts itself above God. And God is calling warriors out in this hour. He's calling those that will pray to stay. Amen? Who will press in to win. Who will concentrate to elevate. Amen? God is calling out warriors who will decide which, today you decide which side of the battle am I on. You're either on God's side fighting against the forces of darkness, or you're on the opposite side giving in to the darkness. There is no other way in our ministry to go. We have been called treasures out of darkness. God has pulled us from the pits. God pulled us out. He cleaned us up. And he expects us to reach others like us. Amen? He doesn't expect us. See, but the enemy likes to mess with our kind of ministry. He likes to tell us, oh, you've done enough. Believe me, I've been around a long time. You heard the number. And if I would have said a long time ago, I've done enough, I wouldn't have those beautiful disciples behind me that just spoke tonight. The powerhouses. God is raising up some women preachers in our church. You and I are treasure hunters. Tell your neighbor you're a treasure hunter. We should go on a treasure hunt right now. We really should. There's lots of them on Central. Right there. And Manal. And the truck stops. They're everywhere. Right here on San Mateo, some treasures. We're entering into a season of evangelism. Each one reach one. How many of you have been praying already for your persons? I put my whole family on there. Everyone. I didn't put just one. I didn't just put two. I didn't put just three. I put seven or eight or nine. I don't remember. But I'm on a mission. I want to see my family saved and set free by the power of God. And it's not going to end with Easter, people. We are in an each one, reach one campaign for the rest of the year. Don't be so close. This 90-day challenge, I feel like having them change it to all-year challenge. We should be tithers all year long consistent. But we have to stir you up, wake you up, remind you what you're supposed to be doing, and tell you for 90 days, try it, try God. Hey, listen, I believe God is my provider. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could hope for and ask in my spirit, in my finances, and in my family. We serve a mighty God. Let's quit limiting God. Let's quit putting him in a box. Let's quit saying, oh, it's going to work like this. No, quit. He wants to get out of the box. The Holy Spirit wants to move in our church. He wants to move in a way that we've never seen him move. We need to begin to start praying like never before. Are you planting seeds in their lives already and inviting them to church? Have you already been making phone calls for your each one, reach one? It wasn't just a thing. This isn't our pastor's vision, just a thing we do. This is a mission that we've been given, a mandate from our pastor to reach people. So if you just wrote a name but you haven't been praying over them, then you're just playing church. We're on a mission, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. And we need to reach this city. And it starts with our family. We're not ordinary. We're not ordinary people. We are kind of different. And if people that are outside of our ministry attend one of our conferences, they'll think we're a little crazy. But we go there for marching orders. You come here for marching orders. God tells, you come here and God begins to tell you who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and how you're going to do it. Amen? It's simple. We make it so complicating. But we're not ordinary people. We are extraordinary. We are very, very extraordinary. And we have a special, special mission. And this summer, it can't be about work. Our outreach can't be about work. I don't want to hear I'm tired. Well, if you're tired, you better get on your knees. Because we have a mission. We are called to reach our city for Jesus. And we're not going to just do an Easter outreach like normal. We are going ready to touch people's lives. And every single person in this church is responsible to minister to somebody that day. We don't want to see you on a blanket with your family. Have a picnic another day. Amen? We want to see you with a Victory Outreach t-shirt, with your combat boots on, with your love in your heart, with flyers in your pocket, with a prayer in your hand. And we're going to see people's lives changed. Are you with me? Stand with me tonight. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? Oh, I can't hear you. Are you with us? Can we do a war cry tonight? Are you with us? We are Victory Outreach. And if we don't do our outreach, we have no victory. We are not an ordinary church. And God has called you. There's not a lot of us here tonight, but guess what? 300 won the war. Jesus turned the world upside down with 12. We might be small in numbers, but we are mighty in the Spirit of God. When we can pray and seek the face of God for these things and not work in the arm of flesh, we're going to see God move. How many of you want to stand and see God move? Let's come to this altar, all of us, and let's agree. This is not an altar call for us, but this is an altar call to commit to being that warrior that God has called us to be. And we're going to stand, and we're going to pray, and we're not going to let the enemy, this girl, fight back. In the name of Jesus.